This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So here's the deal. Chris O'Brien he's not taking a sabbatical. I really shouldn't say that. He's got some last minute commitment that he has to meet and won't be here to talk with us and, of course, our guest this week, Walter Bosley. On the other hand, at the very last minute, the very last second almost, we reached into our selection of potential guest co-hosts, and we asked a gentleman by the name of Randall Murphy to join us. You know him in the forums as Usual Suspect. So hi there, Randall.
Hi, Gene.
So here's what we're doing this week. We'll have Walter Bosley in our next segment, but you and I should talk a little bit. Did you hear the After the Paracast episode with Monty Shriver?
That was excellent. I think that's a must-listen to for anyone who's interested in UFO crashes. That was fantastic.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He did an incredible amount of work in looking into the Aztec case and was unable to verify anything. But he did tell me after the episode he made a mistake. He said he misspoke when he said that Virgil Riggs, one of the key figures in Aztec, attended Harvard. He went to Columbia University. That's the error. But this guy is so deliberate and careful about checking his facts.
Well, that's a minor thing compared to all the other claims that are made that really can't be very well substantiated or substantiated at all, really. It's mostly just rumors and interesting stories.
The thing here is I'm reasonably satisfied at this point that Aztec was the creation of one of the people mentioned in the book from Frank Scully. And that's it.
That seems to be the most reasonable explanation at this point. I mean, there's so much mythology about that, and yet when you go looking, I mean, there's no evidence of roads there. What were they doing? Did they completely deconstruct them all and cover everything back up so that there's not a trace left of it anywhere? It just doesn't make much sense.
You're right. But, you know, if there's any rumor at all, when you add that to the desperation that people have to look for evidence about UFOs, and sometimes they just go overboard. And I think that was the problem with Steinman in his book and Wendell Stevens, that they were probably too desperate to find things, and they tried to, I guess, take the book behind the flying saucers and look into the background of it. But what has always been troublesome about Aztec is that it doesn't originate before the Scully book. People in Aztec, New Mexico, a town of about 800 at the time, remember nothing. How do you do that? How do you have all these military people showing up to drag this huge flying saucer away? You know, people in a town that small, those of you who live in small towns will understand, can't sneeze without somebody knowing it. How big a city did you grow up in, Randall?
Well, I'm originally born in Calgary here. Back then, it was a fairly small city. It's now over a million people. But I also grew up out in a place called Invermere, which is on Lake Windermere, which is near Fairmont and Radium Hot Springs in B.C. Small town, a couple of thousand people. And you're absolutely right. If anything happens, everybody knows about it within a week or less. And people have long memories there. They can sit and reminisce about the good old days a long time ago, and they'd be doing that if there was any remembrance of it.
Well, I hope that ends it, but it doesn't. You know what happens in the UFO field. You debunk something, you show there's no factual basis for it, and people will say, yes, there is. There's still people following George Adamski. He's the real deal.
That actually kind of amazes me. One of the British researchers who I had really had a great respect for, Tim Good, I was surprised to hear him say that he was still kind of a believer in giving credibility to the Adamski case. How does that happen? He was one of the best researchers in the field at one time. So
I was surprised. We had him on December 22nd, 2013, Chris and I.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sure. And he goes into this Adamski thing, and I'm saying, what? What are you doing, man? Now, on the previous occasion, it was January 13th, 2008, I don't recall him pushing Adamski then.
I think he must have some assistance with his editing and research, and somehow this one just slipped by him. I'm not sure how. He'd worked for QFOS. Assisted them. I don't really get it, but these things do come up, and how they keep resurrecting is—it's just a matter of regurgitating the same thing. Somebody digs it up and goes, "Oh, this is interesting." Doesn't do much follow-up research on it, or trusts somebody who they think is credible, and the next thing you know, there it is.
It's the way the UFO field works. This is why people call it toxic, because all these things happen. In any case, if you're wondering how to listen to the Monty Shriver episode, here's what you do. You have to join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. The After the Paracast podcast is one of our premium features. We've got others. We also offer you the commercial-free version of the show. So check it out. Prices start just $1.49 a week, $4.99 a month. And again, you get this show commercial free. You get After the Paracast, which you can see is unpredictable. Sometimes we just talk. Sometimes we have special guests. Sometimes we have people like Monty Shriver. Totally different, unexpected guests. A few months back, we had Nick Pope. But not talking about Rendlesham or UFOs, but the fact that he takes a very mainstream viewpoint about conspiracy theories, that a lot of the things that we regard as conspiracies, he says, well, you know what? Maybe not. And by the way, speaking of conspiracies, I've been in touch with Ken Thomas. Ken Thomas, of course, was our original conspiracy theory guest on the Paracast, lo these many years ago, starting in 2006. He's got a new book coming out very soon. And as soon as that's taken care of, we'll work to get him back on the Paracast and catch up and see how some of those older conspiracies hold up after lo these many years. What happens?
That sounds like something to really look forward to.
I realize that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I don't always take all that stuff seriously. I wonder about some of the 9/11 conspiracies, for example. But Kennedy assassination, I remember hearing the late assemblyman from New York, Mark Lane, also a book author of Rush to Judgment and other books, where he was showing off why Kennedy could not have been killed in the way they said. It couldn't have been a lone gunman. All these theories. And he had a very credible version, very credible story to tell. I went to see one of his lectures. Then I told Jim Mosley about it. Of course, Jim attended one of those lectures with me, and we had dinner after the session. In those days, I had later hours than I do now, and we talked a lot about it. It was just fascinating. In any case, we'll be talking a little bit about conspiracies in a sense here, because we've got our old friend Walter Bosley. Of course, he worked as an AFOSI agent. He worked with the FBI, and he has this incredible background. He's got this book out called Shimmering Light, Lost in an MK Ultra House of Anu, a story of paperclip Nazis, Roswell, UFOs, a hidden race, and perception management. Our co-host is Randall Murphy, known as usual suspect in the forums. Walter Bosley's coming. You're in
the Paracast.
also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Returning to the Paracast is our old friend Walter Bosley with all this FBI and intelligence stuff on all that. The key here, of course, when you have Walter Bosley is there's a million things to talk about. But one thing we won't talk about much is politics. And as Walter and I observed just a moment ago before we started, you can't do that anymore. People are too polarized. No more politics on the Paracast. But then we talk about Air Force secrecy, about UFOs and disclosure. And we're talking about government agents. And we're talking about Men in Black. And that gets into politics, but then it's not necessarily Republican and Democratic politics. So we've got to watch ourselves, Walter. Sorry about that.
Hey, no apologies necessary. I'm happy to avoid that. There's so many other things to talk about still.
Now, before we had you on, and I know you've written about Roswell, I mentioned a special guest we had on the After the Paracast podcast, a supplementary show, Monty Shriver, who is a retired professor and accountant who lived in Aztec, New Mexico. He was a teenager when supposedly a flying saucer crashed there. And he spent an entire year trying to verify the case, including talking to the people at his class reunion, his 50th class reunion. Say, anyone remember this? No.
Isn't that interesting? to me, that's kind of the state of where Roswell is at right now, is that there's so much that when people kind of take a step back and take a breath and really dig into it, they're finding that these things that people have accepted as the facts for, you know, 30 some years or more since Roswell became popular, are turning out to not be so. And, you know, 30 years of that, it's definitely hurt investigation of the case, because now we're, I mean, decades beyond even where we were when it entered the public view. So it hurts trying to find the truth about Roswell. And we're back at square one because of this.
Well, certainly I'm glad to set Aztec aside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that one, you know, that's kind of an offshoot of the whole Roswell thing. And it has been out there lingering, and people have gone back and forth on it. And, you know, it's important to clarify these issues. But sometimes people want to just cling to the popular myth. So, you know, clarification is made all the more difficult. You know, they just don't want to let go what they want to believe. And I think we're finally at a point at Roswell where, for example, with Roswell, I know we're talking about Aztec, but, you know, with any of these, you know, I think we're at the point where there's enough saturation of the one particular hypothesis and nothing's really coming of it, that people are ready to kind of look at these situations fresh and consider other options.
Well, last week we had Nick Redfern on, and he's got two books about Roswell, Body Snatchers in the Desert and the Roswell UFO Conspiracy. And as you know, he's got a viewpoint that says it involves some kind of human experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
Rather nasty, rather dirty kind of stuff, grisly, so far as I can see. Now, you, of course, have approached this. Where do you think Nick went with this? Does it look to you as something credible?
I liked about, you know, Nick's approach is that, yeah, he's looking at it from something, through something other than the usual ET hypothesis filter, because there are, you know, details and little bits about this case and these other cases that kind of defy the ET hypothesis as an answer. And whereas I have no problem with the possibility that what Nick has come across and what he proposes is something that might well have gone on, my position on Roswell is that there's other factors that would speak to something else other than that. However, you know, as you know, in my book that I've recently put out there, you know, on my approach to Roswell, I do state that one of the possibilities is some type of secret classified project. You know, I say that it might have been a classified first attempt at manned spaceflight by, you know, the United States and the Operation Paperclip Nazis that we inherited. And maybe they did use folks who had some type of medical or physical issue because they considered them expendable. Now, that, of course, puts it in a category that some might say is, you know, nasty and reprehensible. Yeah, which would serve the purpose of why such a tight lid would be clamped down on him, because it would be embarrassing. So in that regard, Nick might be onto something. I definitely acknowledge that. But primarily the value of Nick's approach is, cause, you know, Nick goes into this, he's a journalist. He really does approach all this stuff like a real journalist. He jumps in and he digs things out and he presents what he finds. And, you know, he presents ideas when he does theorize, based on stuff that he finds. And it's, I think it's as reasonable as anything else that's out there, if not more so than some. So yeah, I give him kudos for pointing out something other than the ET hypothesis.
I think the problem is in those early days, there was a lot of experimentation going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is right after World War II. Right. And we get all the Nazi scientists who were instrumental in giving us a space program. We have all this other stuff. We have the technology, the scientific experiments we acquired from the Nazis and the Japanese.
Right.
And I think it's very likely we did funky things.
Oh, sure. You know, I would have to agree with that statement because, you know, as you know, it was when I went into writing about my dad's, when I jumped in to do this book on my dad's situation, and I discovered how instrumental, how at the core of MK Ultra and just Operation Paperclip itself was Army Air Corps and then, of course, U.S. Air Force aerospace medicine was really the main driver in Operation Paperclip. I had not realized that it really was the Colonel Harry Armstrong and General Benson who started the Aerospace Medicine Division within Army Air Corps, which became the Air Forces. And these were the guys that were really pushing at the end of World War II to get these Nazi scientists for their aviation medicine. This is what much of the U.S. Air Force Aerospace Medicine, Aviation Medicine Division, and manned space travel, the pursuit of that, was based upon, was what these guys wanted to get from these Nazi scientists. And going back to what you said, we know what reprehensible, awful things the Nazis had been doing in their medical experimentation. So, you know, yeah, it like you state and like Nick proposes, this is why it's not unreasonable to consider the value of where Nick, you know, goes with that and where, you know, what we're discussing.
Let's break here. We'll have Walter Bosley. His latest book is Shimmering Light. Our guest co-host is Randall Murphy, known as Usual Suspect in the forums. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm
from everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, we have the one and only Walter Bosley joining us. His book is Shimmering Light, and Randall Murphy is our guest co-host. Chris O'Brien is off on, we'll call it special assignment, and he'll be back next week. And we were talking about, I don't know if you call them the good old days, after World War II, where so many crazy things went on. How much of that stuff, Walter Bosley, is still maybe unknown or lost in the rumor category?
Oh, wow. Well, we know for a fact that in the 1973 Church Commission, when the CIA was pretty much ordered by Congress to reveal what they had been doing under MKUltra, we know that the CIA was only required to reveal what they had been doing under MKUltra. What the public didn't know, what kind of slid by, was that the Air Force, U.S. Air Force, and the other branches had done a little bit of it, but the U.S. Air Force had enthusiastically latched on to MKUltra in the 50s and started their own separate program. And they've never been ordered by Congress or anyone to reveal what they had done or do under that program. So you're looking at whatever it is the Air Force, and for that matter, really the rest of the military, the Department of Defense, has ever done under MKUltra, that would remain classified to this day because they weren't required to reveal it. So imagine there, you know, to answer your question, imagine what a big chunk of something, you know, might be there. Who knows to what extent they've taken it. We're talking decades now. We're you know, 60 years or more that this dates back, so your guess is as good as mine what could still be out there to be found out.
Well, sure. One thing I'd kind of like to focus here on, though, is, you know, why should we sort of dismiss the possibility of alien visitation as a possible explanation for some of these things. Like Friedman says, you know, there's everything else that is out there besides UFOs, and then there are UFOs. So, sure, maybe we have some secret technology, and maybe there's been some psychological manipulation. But what about the real thing? How does that relate to the real thing? Are these programs being used as disinformation to cover that up? Or what's your take on that, Walter?
They certainly could be used, of course, as disinformation to cover up. But remember, those of us who, you know, advocate, you know, my position, what I'm saying is that I no longer buy that Roswell was an ET situation automatically. You know, we have seen decades of the ET hypothesis being pushed at the forefront of Roswell and even assumed that that's what, and we're speaking, I'm speaking of Roswell here as an example. You know, we've seen that pushed as the foremost, the accepted theory. And time and time again in the last couple of decades, we just see it fall apart because, you know, witness memory turns out to not be that good. Or in some cases, they, you know, some of them were just making stuff up. In that particular case, the ET hypothesis has fallen apart, really. However, I've always said, you know, I'll say it here and I've said it elsewhere. I don't completely discount the ET hypothesis. I don't do that at all. I've said I think I'm convinced that they're out there and that they come and visit this planet. I just don't think that ET in, you know, well into the 90 percentile of things, that ET is the answer that so many people go to. I mean, you know, we're in a time now where, you know, take for instance the popular TV show. It has become a meme. You know, if somebody can't find, you know, the mustard in the pantry, oh, it's aliens. You know, and I give that as a humorous example. But you know, we've been to that point where everybody's knee jerk assumption now is, oh, it's ET. And when you look closely, I and a lot of others increasingly just don't think that's the case. We want to encourage, you know, take a step back and, you know, look at the other possibilities. ET is certainly in the mix. I grant you that. And I've always said that. ET is definitely in the mix on these things. But, it's not necessarily the sure thing. That's really the main point.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think any responsible ufologist would automatically jump to the conclusion that something strange is alien.
Right. But, well, you know, what you said there was key, though. You said responsible ufologists. There's there's a whole lot of irresponsible ufologists out there, you know, you could say. But, yeah, you're right. I agree with you. The good ones know exactly what we're talking about here.
So how would you differentiate between the two then? We've got some really interesting stories, which, you know, we really got to get into that because your stories are always really interesting. How do we differentiate between what's going on there and what may be happening with alien visitation then?
With it going on where? In the non-alien possibilities or?
Yeah, your theories on breakaway civilizations, for example,
right.
That sort of thing, where there might be some sort of hidden technology or sector of civilization producing technology that's mistaken for alien visitation.
Right. Well, I've proposed, from my point of view, ET is in the mix. But when you're talking, for example, about the breakaway civilization issue, I think ET is in the mix ages ago. And I've spelled this out in a couple of my books. You know, they came here from somewhere else. They brought their technology. They kind of spiked human civilization with it. And then they handed us the ball. And then for ages, you know, we carried it. We lost it. We've been trying to refine it again. And it's been long enough that, in essence, what we're talking about here and what we're trying to develop has really kind of become our own, inherited many ages ago by ET. But at the same time, yes, other ETs have come and gone, I think, and maybe they've, you know, spiked it once in a while. So ET is in the mix, but, you know, in my view, we have this parallel human technology that has been developed through time, through history, and for whatever reason, you know, again, spelled out in the details, you know, they've chosen to keep it close to vest, classified, you know, particularly in the modern era when you get into, you know, military issues, you know, nations always feel like they need to keep their secret weapons secret, that kind of thing. But, you know, I do think that our legitimate classified military technology, I think the stuff that is owned by the military and controlled by the military industrial complex and these human breakaway civilizations, I think these account for, like I said, into the 90 percentile of what people see. But there is that remaining, you know, somewhere between 5 to 10%, I'll say, that I think is definitely the something else. Either people from, you know, possibly other dimensions or other, you know, physical space worlds, the classic ET model. Definitely 5 to 10%, in my opinion, would be that.
That would be in keeping with actually the original Project Blue Book findings, I think. That was about, well, actually 20% were unexplained, but they reduced it down to about 5% afterwards with the Air Force, just sort of arbitrarily. But, I mean, even they say there's a certain amount that just can't be explained even with what they know.
Right. Right. Which is intriguing. It's that little tidbit right there is, I think, the most intriguing little bit that brings all of us from whatever perspective we're coming from, that brings all of us to that table because we're all fascinated with that little 5%, I think. And we all want to know, okay, what is that?
I'm going to ask you a few more questions going back to the old days and the government's influence on early UFO history in a moment. Once again, the book is Shimmering Light, Lost in an MK Ultra House of Anu. And Walter Bosley, our guest co-host this week, is Randall Murphy. Some people know him in the forums as Usual Suspect. With Gene, Walter, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how we can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Back to the early involvement of the government in UFOs. Are you familiar, Walter, with the book from James Carrion where he wrote about the ghost rockets being some sort of government thing to spook the Russians?
I've heard him talk about it, and I've wanted to read it, but I haven't got my hands on it yet. Yeah, I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's the Rosetta Deception.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to write a book also about the Roswell Deception, which I presume continues the same vein. And the unfortunate thing here is he's been kind of out of touch lately. We were going to have him on the Paracast a year or two back, and then there was some family issues. And so I don't know what take he makes on Roswell. I assume, though, it's going to be the same thing, that UFOs being used as a cover for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see that in the early days of the UFO field?
I don't see why not. It's logical within, you know, this point of view that I've certainly advocated recently, you know, between breakaway civilization and secret post-World War II attempts at manned space flight. UFOs would be the, you know, the classic mysterious ET UFO would be the perfect cover for, you know, activities of those two particular ventures that I just described. So we can say that it probably went on. And even if that's too far out for folks, you know, UFOs as a cover for just plain old advanced aircraft technology or even for missile activity is also a possibility. So we have to say the answer to that question would be yes, that there probably is an extended degree of using this whole UFO thing to cover, you know, for classified technology. Certainly, I'd agree with that.
I have a bit of a problem with that. If maybe we could see, just to sort of analyze this a bit. We've got this top secret memo from Wilbur Smith back in 1952. The saying is that UFOs are more highly classified than the H-bomb, that flying saucers exist, that their modus operandi is unknown. This is, according to that memo, the most secret, highly classified project in pretty much their whole inventory. Why would they use that then as a cover for other things. It to me, this doesn't seem to make much sense. I mean, why that it'd be like using the Manhattan Project to cover for Project Ultra. Somehow, I don't see the logic there.
Well, the problem I have with the 1952 issue, because that comes up, I think, you know, the MJ-12 papers have a 1952 connection. And what a lot of times when people bring this up and relative to ufology is that the JIC, the Joint Intelligence Community, had done an assessment in the late 40s that said by 1952, we would be in total war with the Soviet Union. Okay, clearly that did not happen, but that was when 1952 really first came up in these documents, and it was a very real-world issue. So what happened was that put the year 1952 out there on the table, and there were a few things discussed relative to this JIC assessment, this Joint Intelligence Committee assessment that had been done. And people have been interpreting that to mean ET and space UFOs and such, when that might not be what they were talking about. I would have to see the memo that you're talking about, you know, sitting in front of me to comment further in an intelligent manner. I don't have it sitting in front of me. It might be one of the ones I looked at, you know, for my book, but I looked at a lot of things. And do you recall, who was the author? Wilbur Smith, you said?
Wilbur Smith, this is the Project Magnet memo, Canadian. And apparently this document's now stored at the archives at the University of Ottawa. So
okay.
We don't seem to have any reason to think that the matter wasn't more highly classified.
Oh, sure. I don't have a problem with the classification at all.
If they're classifying UFOs higher than the H-bomb, why are they using it as a cover story for something less?
Okay. When I say using UFOs as a – I have to admit, you know, mea culpa, I thought it was implied we were talking about ET UFOs. Okay, yes, UFOs, according to this document, this Canadian document, were clearly in Canada, you know, more classified than the H-bomb. Those particular UFOs might have been the classified technology that was very earthbound, very human source that, you know, could have been from they thought from the Soviet Union.
Okay. Right, I get the gist of what you're saying, but the same memo also says that flying saucers exist and that their modus operandi is unknown. So, if they're talking about existing technology, how could they say that it's unknown?
Okay. You can see an aircraft, okay, some type of advanced aircraft, and not know whether it's from the Russians or the Chinese or the Lithuanians or the Venezuelans, okay? Clearly, you can see that it's some type of earthbound technology, but just not know who the source is as far as which nation, okay? And I think that is probably, speaking of logic, more logically reasonable that that's what unknown meant. Now, what I was trying to say a minute ago is that I think that they used the ET themed UFO idea as a cover for actual technological things. In other words, and I've said this in the past too, when you're testing your advanced aircraft, let people think it's little green men from Mars. Let people think it's little grays from Zeta Reticuli. You know, that's better than them knowing it's U.S. Air Force. Okay, that's what I mean by that. I think that's a better, clearer way to state what I was stating earlier.
Let me go back earlier in this thing, since we're covering different issues, kind of catch as catch can. Back with the Arnold sighting, the Kenneth Arnold sighting, and it's important to mention this year because the anniversary is coming up.
True.
In the next few weeks. 1947... 2017, 70 years since Kenneth Arnold. Now, the linchpin of that case is the fact that these objects were traveling at least 1,200 miles an hour. And I recall that actually Arnold really originally estimated 1,500, but used a lower figure. Now, if he got that wrong, and maybe it was 400 miles an hour, it's possible he was just looking at some kind of test aircraft or something.
Sure.
And where would the UFO field be then?
Exactly. Not where it wants to be for a lot of people.
Well, there were plenty of other sightings besides Arnold's, I think, afterwards. I think we'd still have the mystery. We still wouldn't know what the unexplained ones are.
Sure. Right. We would have enough consideration of the other possibilities that perhaps, you know, more of the mysterious possibilities, for lack of a better way to put it, you know, might have been explored a little further. So it's just something that, you know, we kind of need to notch back and recognize, you know, look at what was going on at the time and be a little bit more honest with, hey, you know, this could very well have been, you know, human technology, which in itself is a fascinating solution. But I'll say that none of that eliminates totally the more mysterious otherworldly possibilities being in the mix.
Now, here's something you might find interesting, Walter. Also in the Project Magnet memo, apart from them not knowing what the modus operandi is of UFOs, it does mention that the U.S. authorities were looking into them, and that one of the possibilities that as an explanation is that there may be some sort of mental phenomena. And you were just mentioning MK Ultra, and so maybe there's some sort of connection there.
Well, you know, there's two possibilities I see there. You know, the one that a lot of people would go to, of course, would be, gosh, were the guys messing with MK Ultra, did they perhaps create the phenomena somehow or use it to create this, you know, ET mythology?
Walter Bosley, Gene Steinberg, Randall Murphy, we're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.